Good morning. How are you all this morning?
Good.
You sure? I took a shower and I brushed my teeth, but yet the first couple rows are still empty. You know that row of back row Baptist boys back there? They should come up and sit in the front. Doesn't everybody think that? Shouldn't they do that? There you go, boys. You got to move. Come on. Let's go. They're not moving. And they're bigger than I am, so I'm not going to mess with them. Oh, goodness. My name is Tim Weeks. Marcia and I, would you stand just so everybody knows who you are, dear? I know they do because you're the better looking one of the two of us. So, but we are here in the state of New York for, we've been here since the second week of March, and we'll be here until the 25th of this month. And then we'll move on to Ohio for a couple days and then head home. We've been away from home total. Once we get back home, we'll have been gone for 8 weeks. And the reason we're here in New York is to basically visit all the churches that have partnered with us. And you are part of that group. And so a first part of my message this morning is going to be a brief just report to you about what I'm doing, what I do. And it has to do with facilitation. And you're going, what in the world is that? What is a facilitator? Well, you'll learn here in a minute. But basically, two passages of Scripture that I'd like to share with you that have kind of been running and motivate me and Marcia for what we do, and that is our main responsibility is missionary care. Our job is to take care of the 15 missionary families that BCP has. I started out when John Little retired with the East Coast, then when Bob Saucer retired, I got the rest of the bunch. And then when Herb Taylor retired, I got everybody else. So I am now the official missionary care person at BCP. So I have all 15 missionary families that span from Millbury, Massachusetts, right outside of Boston, all the way to Tracy, California, which is outside of San Francisco, and all the way down south to Largo, Florida, where our Hispanic missionaries are located. So we have all of those missionaries that we care for. Not only we care for them, but we care for the churches that they care for. So that includes all the churches that are either in a state of revitalization or in the church plant stage. So I'm responsible for them. Plus, we have all of the sending churches that send our missionaries. So I have a total of 15 missionaries and 23 churches that I take care of. So I do other things in my spare time when I have that. But one of the things that motivates us is found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And the main thing is that our love may abound more and more. And Marcia and I are just asking God to help us in good and bad situations, difficult and not so difficult situations, to just show love and care for our missionaries. Basically, I am the pastor to the missionaries who are missionary pastors. And pastors need pastors. They need someone that they can talk about with things they can't talk about with anybody else. So guess who gets the phone call at the weird time of the day? And I serve people in three different time zones: Eastern, Central, Mountain, and Pacific. But Mountain and Pacific, sometimes depending on where you are all the same time. So it gets kind of crazy, gets kind of loopy. For example, I'm helping a church in Tracy, California. They meet at 5 o'clock when it's 8 o'clock here. So tonight at 8 o'clock, I will be meeting with their leadership team and will be mentoring them and helping them through our leadership journey lessons. And so I'm online from 8 p.m. Sunday night till 9:15. So that's basically what I do all week long. Right now, I just have one church I'm helping, but I'm also helping our church in Hamlin, New York, at just north of Rochester, Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I meet with them from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. So this evening, even though I may not have meetings in churches, I'm busy from 6 to 7 and 8 to 9:15, and that happens most Sundays. That will probably switch and change next month, where I'll drop off the 6 to 7 p.m. time slot, but I'll continue with these guys in California for the next 24 weeks. So I am busy. throughout the week and doing those things. The other passage of scripture that has basically been, I better understand what Paul was talking about, what he says, and apart from other things, which he lists in the previous part of the passage, there is the daily pressure on my anxiety for the churches. And because of the, I didn't realize it, but so often I wake up and I'm either praying for a church in California, or a church in Utah, or a church in Arizona, or one in Massachusetts, or one in Florida, or one in West Virginia, or one in Kansas, or one in Nebraska, or one in other places. So I have all kinds of different things that I'm responsible for. And I don't know when I'm going to be called upon to deal with an issue that needs wisdom and needs direction. So I would appreciate your prayers for me in that regard, because I can be called at any time of the day or night with difficulties or just need counsel or advice with a situation that a missionary pastor is facing. So I would appreciate that. One of the things that, this is working finally, I think. Okay. Yes, you are slower than, there we go. What does it mean to facilitate? You probably never thought about that, did you? If I had blindfolded you and asked you to give me the definition of a facilitator or to facilitate, would you have been able to do that before I showed you this slide? Probably not. Well, what I try to do is make things easier for people. And because I function as the liaison between the missionary and the church they work with, if there is a situation that needs to be cared for, or the missionary and their sending church, or the missionary and the mission agency, BCP. So that's my job, is to try to make things easier and more likely to happen if they're going to happen. So that's basically, it sounds kind of nebulous, doesn't it? It takes an interesting skill set to be able to do that too. And I did not know I had that skill set until God had taken me through a whole bunch of different experiences in life, being a church planter in France, being a pastor here in the U.S., being a chaplain for a hospice, and a few other opportunities that God's given me. And guess what? It prepares you to do this. So pray for us. Pray for Marcia and I as we help our missionaries. And we go to visit them once a year. So we're traveling to New York. We're traveling to Massachusetts, to Florida, and West Virginia, and Kansas, and Nebraska, and, or not Kansas, but Missouri, because they're right next to each other. Sorry about that, and to Idaho, and to Utah, and to Arizona, and to California. We travel all over those places. Bless you, my dear. And I just pray for us as we travel. Sometimes we put somewhere in the neighborhood around between 25 and 30,000 miles in traveling all around each year. Let me just give you a quick rundown of the things that I help to facilitate. What do I help make easier? Number one, we help to facilitate relationships, because so often we've discovered, and that's why I'm doing this, is that our missionaries are not in regular contact with their sending church. So I help to reestablish that communication, which is the second thing I help to what did I do? Yeah, I just made it blank. I hit the wrong button. Then we help to with communication. Because missionaries haven't been talking to their sending churches, guess what? I need help reestablish that. I talked to a missionary just recently and asked him, so when's the last time you talked to your sending pastor? Oh, 3 years? I'm like, not acceptable. You need to be in regular contact with your pastor. I meet with my pastor either in person or online once a week. And I'm not a church planner, but I believe it's important for us to do that. So I do that as often as I can. It just so happens we're living in Sherburn right now, so I get to go down to D&D's Diner, and we sit down and talk for an hour or two. And he catches up with what I'm doing, I find out what he's doing, and I'm accountable to him for what I do as their sent missionary. The other thing we help is with vision. Like, where are you going? What are you going to do? How are you going to accomplish that? And my job is to help remind them of, well, here's the plan you agreed to, let's get busy and do it. Don't get sidetracked by doing something that's not going to help fulfill that purpose. So that's part of what I do as well. And then the last part that I help with is I help them with the process, because sometimes you get stuck. What do I do next and how do I do it? And so that's part of what I do as well. Just to give you an example of that, is the church in Preston, Idaho, Grace Fellowship. Jim Mitchell, our missionary, also is working with his sending church. And so my job as the BCP facilitator was to get the missionary together with his sending pastor, along with the leadership of the church they were going to help, along with the mother church who was going to help them. And the mother church just happens to be a church plant that's located 15 miles south in Logan, Utah. It is also a church plant, but they have somewhere around 40 people. And so their church, Paul Campbell, has chosen to come alongside and be an encouragement and a help to Jim and the church plant there. You'll see Paul's on the left-hand side with that plaid, whatever that is. And then Jim's in the middle, and one of the elders from the church there at Grace Fellowship is there with him. And then they're located in a strategic location right downtown in Preston, Idaho. Now, Preston, Idaho is not a very big town, but they do have a lot of industry around them. Guess what they do around them? Guess what the big industry is around them? What? Potatoes! You got it. Yeah, it's a central location for potatoes. We had a lady that was at this meeting we had with them. She sent me home. I had flown to Salt Lake City, okay? So I was going back by plane. She brings in me a 2-pound bag of potatoes. Said, "Do you have room in your bags for this?" And what it was a sampling of all different kinds of potatoes. How many were there? Was it like six different potatoes? And they weren't small little things. They were big mamas like that. And so I figured out a way, and I got them in my suitcase and brought them home, and then we sampled them at home when we got home. But yeah, it's a local, I mean, they have lots of potatoes. But the big thing that's there is it's Mormon country. And so pray for the church there in Preston. They were without a pastor for almost 4 years. And so the church went downhill, and now they're working at rebuilding the church. And I trained them in leadership journey stuff, and it's starting to grow again. Their membership has doubled, and so has their budget. And so they're looking. They're in a rented facility. It's a gorgeous rented facility where they are. But they need to find a place where they can own and have as their own. But the real thing they're really praying for is that God would provide them with brand new births of baby believers that are most likely going to come from the Mormon community. And that's hard. It takes time. It's a different culture. People talk the same language you talk. And from all outward appearances, they look like they're good, upstanding, moral, even maybe godly people. They're dead in their trespasses and sins, and they need Jesus. So pray for Jim and Janice as they serve there in Preston, Idaho, trying to be a light and salt in that Mormon community. Well, this morning I did not consult your pastor on what I was going to preach on, and the reason why is because I was going to talk about this subject. I've been doing this in churches, and some pastors, I do not tell them I'm going to preach on this. Because it usually seems kind of embarrassing, and your pastor can't say the things I'm going to say to you this morning that he probably should tell you, okay? So I hope you are not going to be offended. Please put your steel-toed shoes on because I'm going to step on them, okay? I'm just warning you, just giving you a heads up, right? Fair disclosure, right? So don't get mad at me. You can get mad at the scriptures because that's where I'm going to take you. So how do you take care of your pastor? How should you take care of your pastor? Well, here's some things I want you to be reminded of. Pastors are gifts to the church from God. And where we find that, if you'll take and turn to your Bibles, you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read a few verses there. Because Ephesians chapter 4 starts out with this command, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So what did that look like? Well, he talks about humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. So it's all about unity in the midst of a bunch of diversity. And that is a description of the body of Christ. What I find is rather fascinating that every single one of you I look at, you're all different. Nobody looks the same. There are no clones in our midst. Unless you're the son of a guy that you look a lot like, which that happens. Or you're the daughter of a lady, or your dad. You look a lot like your dad too, maybe. I don't know. Some of you are laughing. Why are you laughing? Because it's true? Because that's the way genetics works. But the point is, we're all different, but yet we've been called into one body. Then what does that mean? Well, that means we should think alike in a way that would please Jesus. And that's what makes business meetings a little hairy. Try to get work done, and you get five Baptists together, and you know how many opinions you have? About seven. The point is, God intended for his body to function as a unit, in harmony, in unity. Even though we're all different, we come from different walks of life, we're different genders, we're different ages, we come from different generations, we grew up in different households, we even come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. But yet, God intends the body of Christ to function as a unit. Well, one of the things that he intends the body to function as a unit in is how we treat those who are our leaders. And so he gives us a list of those in verse 11. He gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. I'm going to ignore the first three because they really don't refer to the individuals that God has given to pastor or to shepherd his church. And those are shepherds and teachers. By the way, another word for shepherd is pastor. So when you call your pastor Pastor Crick, you're calling him Shepherd Crick, just so you know that. But there are also other names, and we're going to run into some of those in another passage or two here as we look. But what is the job of a pastor? Well, number one, we have to recognize as the church that your pastor is a gift from God to your church. Yeah, but we called him. Yes, you did. And when you called him, you recognized God's call on his life as a shepherd, and you chose to allow him to serve here. You didn't realize that, did you? You thought you just hired some guy off the street. No, some churches see that in their pastors. But you realize he is not a hired hand. Did you know that? He is not here to do your bidding. He has been called of God to serve this body, this flock. And you need to recognize that. And you need to respond and act toward him in that light. He is God's gift to People's Baptist Church. Let that sink in for a minute. He is God's gift. Please keep that in mind, because then the next thing that we look at, pastors are not only gifts to the church, but pastors are tasked. Here it is in my pocket. I knew I put it somewhere. Pastors are tasked with training other sheep to do the work of the ministry. Look at verse 12. I'll read that. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. A pastor's job description is to train. Yeah, but he's supposed to preach. Yes, he is. He's supposed to teach. Yes, he is. We'll see that in a couple other passages of Scripture here. That is part of his responsibility. But did you know his job is really to train you to do the work of the ministry? So often I've been in churches, I was in one, where when they called me to be their pastor, they thought, okay, now he's going to get the job done. That's not my job. That wasn't my job. My job is not to do your job. Your job description is to do the work of the ministry for the building up of the body. And your pastor's responsibility is to train you how to do that. That's what the text says, right? Pastor, shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. Isn't that what the text says? Are you reading the same thing I'm reading? Some people are nodding their heads yes, others are giving me a blank stare. I want you to open your eyes and look at the Bible in front of you. Look at the text. Read it for yourself. What does it say? Your pastor's job is to train you. So, then what should I do in response to that? You could talk back to me if you want. I won't shush you. So, that's right. And we're going to read some other passages of Scripture that kind of fall in line with what she just said, because that's biblical. If your pastor is a gift to you, to your church, from God, and his job is to train you to do the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ, then as your pastor trains you and guides you and directs you and helps you, you should listen and you should follow. That's your job. You help your pastor fulfill his ministry as the shepherd of the flock of God when you follow his direction and lead. That means you got to listen. And maybe you need to change your mind about some things. Maybe you need to change your practices to conform to those things. It takes work on the part of the members of the body of Christ. So first of all, pastor's a gift. Pastors are tasked with training other sheep to do the work of the ministry. And then third, pastors are to care for the souls of other sheep. Pastors are to care for the souls of other sheep. How do they do that? Well, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Here's what Peter says. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. So Peter's an elder exhorting other elders and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, that was Peter was, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. And what is his command? Very short and simple. Shepherd the flock of God. That's his command to elders. Shepherd. Now, what's fascinating, this is an elder talking to other elders. By the way, that's another name for pastor, is elder, and it has to do with age, has to do with maturity, has to do with authority. He says that as elders, shepherd the flock of God. Now, remember the term that was used back in Ephesians 4, we just read about a couple minutes ago? Shepherds and teachers. It's the same word. And so a pastor, what he's basically here saying here in 1 Peter in verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2, is he says, pasture the flock of God. In other words, do the job of a pastor. Shepherd the flock that is among you. Now notice, I want you to notice this next phrase. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. That's another term used for pastors. And we're more familiar with it with the term bishop, which means overseer or someone that provides oversight. It has to do with administration. So the pastor has to do with nurture and care. Elder has to do with maturity, wisdom, and authority. And oversight has to do with administration or rightly do the work that God, you know, Paul says that we are to do things decently and in order. Well, that's where your oversight comes in, doing things just not haphazard. Who organizes the morning worship service? Well, the pastor as well as other people that have been trained to do so. The things of the church, the matters that need to be done, they need to have oversight. Things need to be done in order. For example, when you have a members meeting, and you need to make decisions, you need someone to lead those things, you need someone who has to do a little bit of work in the background to make sure that happens in an orderly fashion when you gather together as a body of believers. Well, that happens because there's somebody who has some oversight over that. So Peter says that not only does the elder need to shepherd, but they also need to give oversight. So all three terms are used in regards to a pastor in 1 Peter chapter 5. And listen to what he says. Exercising oversight, not under compulsion. In other words, you don't have to have the guy kicking and screaming and drag him in and say, you got to do this. And he's going, no, I don't want to do this. No, he does it willingly. He does it not under compulsion, but willingly. He does it because he wants to, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain. In other words, your pastor is not here because he's going to make the big bucks. That's what the scripture says. Not doing it for gain. Not doing it, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in charge, but being examples to the flock. And that has to do with training people to do the work of the ministry. You can't train people properly if you're going to be domineering and have to have always your way. It has to do with a style, has to do with relationship, how a pastor works and acts. So remember that your pastor, his responsibility is to care for your soul. Did you ever think about that? Like, who do you call when your family has a crisis, a death or an illness or something else? Who do you call? You call your pastor. When you have a situation where 11 o'clock on Saturday night, so-and-so gets rushed to the hospital, emergency room, because of some situation, who are you going to call? Your pastor. Who's going to stay up with you all night until 5, 6 in the morning on a Saturday night, or early Sunday morning, if you will? Going to be your pastor, your shepherd. He's the one that is responsible for your soul. Now, I think it's going to come out here in another minute or two that your pastor is never not your pastor. In other words, even though he might be in Colorado, you all know that there's ways of, if it's an emergency and you really need to get a hold of them, you can. Of course, you're going to resist that, right? Because I have a couple other suggestions here as we move on. Pastors are worthy of double honor. You might say, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 and see what we find. Now, I want you to notice something. Why are they worthy of double honor? Well, look at what they do. The elders who rule well should be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Now, pastors, yes, they preach. They're expected to do that, right? And some of you might say, well, that's what we pay them for. No, got to get away from that mindset. It's because that's his job description given to him by God. And Jesus, being the Lord of the church, can say how he runs his church. And if he puts a pastor in as your shepherd, then he's a gift from God whose responsibility is to train you to do the work of the ministry and to care for your soul, and your response to him is he's worthy of double honor because he preaches and teaches the Word of God. The next thing that we find in the scriptures, and this is the last one, is that, I love this one, and so often you and I forget this about our pastor. Pastors are sheep. Are you sheep? Yeah. And we are ultimately pastored or shepherded by the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, namely Jesus, but he has placed as gifts to the church under shepherds over his different flocks in locations around the globe. It just so happens that he has put Pastor Crick as your shepherd here at People's Baptist. That's why I can talk about him. Well, you can tell him, okay? I'm not going to tell him. You break the news to him. You say, Pastor Crick, while you were away, Tim Weeks came and he talked about you the whole service. And they did. I've been talking about him since the beginning. But did you know your pastor is a sheep just like you are? Now I want you to think about what are the needs that you have. Do you have the need to be encouraged? How many of you need to be encouraged every once in a while? Yep, guess what? Your pastor needs the same kind of ministry. How many of you need to be put up with when you're ornery? Your pastor needs that too. How many of you need to be prayed for? Yeah, your pastor needs it too. You get the point? I've just been listing all the one another's in the New Testament. You have encourage one another, pray for one another, confess your sins to one another, build one another up in the faith, love one another, bear one another's burdens, put up with one another. I mean, all of those one another's. Greet one another, honor one another, prefer one another above yourselves. I mean, all those one another's refer and are applied and can be applied to your pastor and his wife. So as you think of yourself as a sheep, and you think, oh, I have this need and this need and this need, and you're expecting the body of Christ to bless you and encourage you and to help you and pray for you and build you up when you're down and to put up with you when you get just a little ornery and cantankerous, and we all do. Guess what? Your pastor needs the same thing. Why? Because he's a sheep just like you are. Don't forget that. It's very important. Now, as a result, I have two or three things that you should do as a member. Number one, support the work of your pastor. Now, you can do that by one anothering your pastor. Pray for him, help him. Then you need to heed the pastor's care. Remember, he's to care for your soul. So when he says, or when he exhorts you or encourages you that you should be doing certain things, you need to listen and do them because they are from your shepherd. And his responsibility is to care for your soul. That is a weighty responsibility. That is an important responsibility. And as he seeks to fulfill that, you need to listen. Third, you need to give cheerfully to the work of God through three things: your time, your talents, your abilities, your gifts, and your resources. That's part of what you're responsible for. And your pastor is to do the same thing in reference to his job. So, what you're doing is you're one anothering your pastor. Your pastor is one anothering you. And you know what happens when the body of Christ does all that one anothering? It fulfills what Ephesians 4:12 says is to build up the body of Christ. That's what that does. Now, I have some practical suggestions. Bear with me. Make sure your pastor takes at least one day off a week. How many of you make sure that he does that? That's it? One hand? Okay. The rest of yous, okay? Get busy. Remind him. Just ask gently, kindly, lovingly, hey, did you take a day off this week? And which day was it? And it's not so you can find out what day you can call him because you don't want to bother him while he's in the office. That doesn't work. All right? But you should be reminding him, hey, don't forget to take a day off. Because, I mean, the rest of us normally get 2 days off, right? Unless you're working a different job. But most of us get Saturday and Sunday off, or depending on your shift or work that you do, you at least get 1 or maybe 2 days off. Your pastor usually gets 1 day off. Next thing, insist. Did you notice the word I used at the beginning? Insist that your pastor regularly gets a good vacation away. I'm so thankful he is not here, so I could talk about him the whole time and he won't be embarrassed. Seriously, I am glad to be able to talk about him without him being here, because that means you guys are doing the right thing. You're letting him get time away. He needs to get time away. Does that mean he's not going to be thinking about you? Guarantee you that's not going to happen. A good shepherd always has his sheep in his mind. He thinks about them. He prays for them. He's concerned about certain things that he knows is going on in your lives. But he's able to get away and be with his family. Here's another one. Pray for your pastor. He is responsible and he's accountable to God for your soul. Do you know how much responsibility that is? Because there's all kinds of bad things out there that can come and start to whittle away your biblical thinking. Your pastor's concerned about those things. He's concerned that you walk with Jesus, that you be obedient to Christ, that you be a faithful disciple, follower of Jesus Christ. That's part of being a caretaker for the souls of men. And that's some of the things that keep me up at night in regards to the churches I care for, because that's not happening in certain churches, and it should be happening. I can't make that happen, but I try my best to create an environment and an atmosphere where it can happen. That's what your pastor does as well. You need to pray for him. Lord, give him unusual wisdom. You need to pray James chapter 1, verse 5, for your pastor. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, because God will answer your prayer. Here's something else to think about. Be gentle with criticisms and the timing of when you offer those criticisms. Now, I know sometimes pastors don't do things the way we would like them to be done. They might say something that we take kind of the wrong way, and we don't understand why he said that. What he said or did may have been hurtful, may have been unkind, and you may think it's unfair. Well, you know what? You need to be careful how you handle that. But you know, if you have a fault against a brother, you need to go and talk to him about it. So please, do me the honor. Do not talk to anybody else about this. Go to your pastor. If you've got a beef with him, talk to him. That's the biblical process you should go through. Don't talk to sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so and somebody else and, hey, you know, he did this and I don't know. No, that's called gossip. So shut up and go talk to pastor. That's what you should do. If he offended you, talk to him. I'll guarantee you that if you were to ask him, what should I do if you offend me? Come talk to me. Tell me what it is that you have a beef with me about. Don't let me sit there and guess why you're kind of not being very talkative and friendly with me and you're kind of avoiding me. No, you go talk to him about that. Be very upfront, honest, kind, and gentle, but be honest. But I'll tell you what, do not do it before he goes in the pulpit on Sunday morning. One of the things I've noticed in church is that sometimes people say, oh, well, it's the only time during the week I can see pastor, so I'm going to get him while he's here. No, you don't do that. You realize there's Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. You could talk to him any one of those other 6 days, but do not pick Sunday morning or after the morning service to talk to him. And you might say, well, why not? Well, number one, when he comes into this building on Sunday morning, he has several things going on in his mind. One of them is if he's teaching something, he's prepared to teach, he needs to stay focused. If he's going to preach, he needs to stay focused on doing that. He's got a million things on his mind, thinking about what to do and things that he needs to accomplish. Don't accost him right before he goes in the pulpit. That's the worst time to talk to a preacher. So I'm going to say, if you've done that, shame on you. Don't ever do it again. I told you I was going to step on your toes. If you were thinking of doing it sometime, just perish that thought and say, nope, when I come to church on Sunday, the purpose for my coming is to worship God and to adore God and to be with my brothers and sisters. Yes, I have this thing I need to talk to pastor about. It's very important, but I'm not going to talk to him about it this Sunday. I'm going to wait till tomorrow or Tuesday or sometime during the week. You can figure out a time when you can get together with pastor. I'll guarantee you he'll make time for you if you need to talk about something like that. And then the other part is, when you do offer the criticisms, be gentle and kind. Remember what the one another's prefer one another? Love one another? He needs to be treated the same way. Even though you may think that he may have done or said or done something that was offensive and problematic to you, you need to be loving. Don't do it on Sunday. How many of you are going to promise me you're not going to talk to pastor and pester him about something with a criticism on Sunday? I'm going to see your hands right now. There's some of you who have not raised your hand. I want to see your hands. You're promising you will not accost pastor, talk to him about something important on Sunday. Yes, you need to make that commitment between you and God. No, I'm not going to do that. If you do promise to do that, if you promise not to do that, you know what you're doing? You're promising to love your pastor well. Love one another. Remember that one another in the New Testament? It's found in John chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. How will the world know that we are his disciples if we love one another? And that involves all kinds of things. Now, you need to go back, if you want to know what that means, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love is patient. Love is kind. I mean, the Bible didn't leave us any doubt as to how we can love other people. So go back and review John 14, verses 34 and 35, and 1 Corinthians 13 if you want to know how to love your pastor. Be gracious with your money. Bless. I didn't say give it to pastor. No, that's not what I'm saying. But giving to the ministry of the body of Christ is how we build up one another. By supporting the things that the church has chosen as a body to do, we need to support them. And you will, in your way, support your pastor. Encourage him. Bless him. Help him. Encourage him. Love him. Remember, your pastor is on duty 24/7. Even though he takes a day off or he's on vacation, he's still your pastor. Don't forget that. And there never is a time he is not your pastor. The moment he accepted the call that you extended to him to become your pastor, he became your pastor. And pastors take that responsibility seriously. So be the encourager. Be the helper. Be the one who prays and supports and helps. Did I say you have to agree with everything pastor says and does? No, I did not. But he is your pastor. You need to encourage him. You need to help him. I hope I have not offended too many people. My purpose this morning was to remind you of the responsibilities that God has placed on the shoulders of all church members in regards to their shepherd. Don't forget, your pastor has been given to your church as a gift. His responsibility is to care for your soul and to train you to do the work of the ministry. And don't forget, he's a sheep, just like you. He needs to be encouraged to walk with Jesus daily as well. So do that. Encourage him. Exhort him as you would an elder. That means you do use respect and dignity. You don't just come up and get in his face and start yelling at him. No. You exhort him as a brother in the Lord because he's a sheep just like you are. So often churches forget. They think, well, pastor's got it all together. I can't talk to him about my problems. Huh, if you only knew, pastors do not have it together. They need encouragement and help. So may the Lord guide you and bless you. Let's pray as we close. Thank you, Father, for giving us everything we need for life and godliness in your word. Thank you for giving us the Spirit of God that lives within our heart. Thank you for giving us the Word of God that is living and sharper than any two-edged sword to enable us to be able to please you and live for you and obey you in all we do. We ask God for your strength. We ask God for your help. We ask God for wisdom and discernment to know how to do that best. Help us to be in the Word, learning and memorizing your Word. And thinking of how can I put that passage of scripture, how can I put that principle from your word into practice? How can I bless my brother or sister, my pastor? I pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct us. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.